All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our NBA podcast for Tuesday, December 6th. I am Doug Norrie, that is...
James.
Davis, and we are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Here to help you get started or continue playing FanDuel and DraftKings NBA, you head over to the site and you can grab a free 3-day trial of our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, which helps you calculate optimal lineups for both FanDuel and DraftKings. It's free for 3 days. And then just $29.95 a month after that. Think you'll be pleasantly surprised? I don't know if surprised is the right word. You'll be happy.
You'll like it.
There you go. And that also includes access to our NFL projections as well. They all fall under one subscription blanket. So you're all covered for those sports and really every other sport that we're covering at the time, hockey projections as well, all for that same base price of $29.95 a month. Think that's about as good a deal as you'll see in the entire industry. All right. We are going to take a look at Tuesday's slate. There's six games going tonight. Real quick before we do that, Klay Thompson, that happened. Do you think
with the 60 points in 29 minutes? That's the thing you're talking about.
Is that good?
Yeah, it seemed like it was pretty solid. Was there something you wanted to say that you find that noteworthy somehow?
No, it was just so funny. A game like that is so interesting. One, he did it in 29 minutes, which is insane. Two, that he had like no other stats. It was just kind of like I watched parts of this game. I didn't watch the whole thing, but basically the plan was, and this is when the Warriors, this is what's truly scary about the Warriors, when they get a heat check guy going, they can just kind of, they're set up to just continue going there over and over and over again without a team really having a way to stop it because you can't.
Well, what are you supposed to do? Put your best defender on him and let Durant kill you?
You're just dead. So the plan there was get up the court, get into a pick and roll, and get him a three-pointer, and he was just going to make it every time. I was kind of hoping that Steve Kerr would keep him in the game, like going into the fourth. Because I know there was a huge blowout, but you have so few chances at games, like these truly historic games of, you know, 80, you know, Kobe 80-point games. They just really don't come around very often. And it's really not going to come around very often for a guy like Klay, who's basically the third, you know, third option on offense on what's going to end up probably being a historically great offense. But do you think would you have liked to see him just kind of keep gunning throughout the fourth?
Yeah, that would have been fun. I mean, I think the Warriors are, you know, after hearing I told you so, just because people hate good things in the world, and this is a sad thing about living in this world, but it's something you should know, dear listener, if this is your first time being in it, is that people hate good stuff. You know, when people see people being happy and succeeding, they just want to crap all over it. And so when the Warriors had a historic season last year, and then they lost the heartbreaking finals to a great team in the Cavs, everyone the next day was going, I think they should have rested their players more during the regular season.
Right.
And so after hearing that all offseason long, and then they get a good player, which is exactly what you're supposed to do. Like if you're a front office and they go, oh, they sold out and now they want to be a super team. Huh? They couldn't win, even though they won the championship 2 years ago. It's so insane. So I think the Warriors of all teams, like they've just like heard that song and dance enough. They're like, yeah, this would be fun and whatever. Like you could just stop him if you have a problem with him scoring. But why bother? Like, we just don't need any more of this nonsense.
I'm just appreciative of your generic fan
voice. Yeah, like, we hate the Warriors when they're so good at basketball. Oh, LeBron James is overrated. It's just people hate nice things, and it's why I have nothing in common with basically anyone. So let's move
Any chance I can get just more of that, like, that Simpsons, like, sort of, like, nerdy scientist voice as your proxy for, like, what a generic fan sounds like? I think we can keep going back to that well as many times as needed.
Yeah, well, we have our secret voice that we do for dumb people that send us comments on Twitter or wherever else.
It's like, which actually you pointed out to me.
You'll read me a quote and you'll be like, hey, and I'll just know totally out of context. I'll be like, someone said that to us. Someone sent us an email.
Right, it was actually kind of disturbing for me to hear because I didn't even realize I was doing it. Like, I just have like this. I have a voice that I put on to generate whatever a dumb comment.
James Johnson again.
Yeah, you're like, oh, Chatter said. Anyway, this is going off the rails. Okay, Tuesday basketball. I had a tough time this. I wrote up the picks last night. The problem with the tough time part of it is that there's just a lot of not very good teams / slow teams playing today. We get teams like Miami, the Spurs, Utah, Memphis, to some degree Orlando, Chicago, teams that just generally play pretty slow. And the reason it's hard with a lot of those teams are on the slate is it's really hard to target players against those teams. Like playing guys against Utah in DFS is tough because they're just so slow. And when those teams make up more than half of the schedule, things can look pretty gross. Now, I mean, everyone's playing with the same player pool, so it's not like, you know, it's not like you're going to get a game, you know, you're going to get a game that I don't see. So we're all playing with the same player pool, but just in general.
We talk about how that, you know, makes the, raise the bar for the level of difficulty, and that can be an advantage and all that sort of thing. And yeah, there's pros and cons to all of it, I guess.
Yeah, last night was one of those nights where there was just all simply too many punts, I thought, going into it, because there was just so many just min price guys that were end up getting in starting positions. I'm not sure we see the same exact scenario tonight, but let's get into it. Let's start at point guard. You know, we at point guard, I wrote up the guy that I think that's probably most intriguing here, what I would say is Dragic, mostly because the Heat are just really, really injured right now. Like they just cannot get healthy. There's a chance that Josh Richardson comes back tonight. Deion Waiters is already going to sit this one. I believe James Johnson's going to sit again as well. They're just missing a lot of shots from this lineup, and Dragic has shown that when that's the case, he's fine just being sort of a ball first shoot, scorer. He has that in his makeup. He hasn't been called on to do a ton of it because they've, you know, in the past they've had like, you know, Wade there or Bosch. But now it's kind of with the injury situation, it is just kind of more of his team. Do you see him as a pretty safe play tonight? Well, just considering that they're probably just going to need to rely on him for a lot of their minutes and offense.
Yeah, I do. I mean, Dragic has been good recently anyway, just routinely paying better than 5 points per dollar since returning to the lineup. 40 points basically in back-to-back games in Portland and Utah. And Portland's a good matchup, but Utah's really not. And right. So he's going up against the Knicks tonight. The Knicks this season have not been terrible against point guards, but we're still early enough in the season where I look more at just overall pace of play and defensive efficiency and figure that teams are basically just going to attack them where they're weakest. And so the fact that the Knicks have the fourth worst defensive efficiency this season, actually Portland is first, so I do think that this is a plus matchup for Dragic. Rose obviously quite athletic, but never really known for his defense necessarily. So I think that this is a great spot on a pretty shallow night at the position.
Yeah, and that's the key, is we're just going to need to find those sort of higher floor plays in decent, if not great, matchups, because that's just basically the theme. The other guy along those lines is John Wall. Now, he's playing on a back-to-back tonight, and the Wiz have been, well, they're like simultaneously weird with minutes and like maybe getting smarter, but not in all the right ways. Like they limited Beal's minutes a little bit last night. They've talked about wanting to make sure they maintain Wall because they stink. They're really not going anywhere this year. I think I hopefully think they realize that. It sure seems like they do. They're just not a very good team. Their personnel doesn't line up. Their bench is horrible. But they, with Wall, he's coming off a 36-minute game last night. It's really hard to imagine they play him big minutes again tonight. I think he's like the best point guard play, like for sure. And this is a night where there's just not a lot of expensive plays that you can round your lineup out with. Are you worried at all about the minutes for him going into this one?
I'm not actually. I think the only real proxy we have for this is the most recent back-to-back the Wizards had where they faced the Spurs. It would have been a really easy night for Wall to play fewer minutes because Wall actually did play. He just played 31 minutes in a pretty close game in the second half of a back-to-back very early in the season. So I think it was reasonable to be concerned about that. But then against the Spurs, I mean, they weren't even totally in it. They were down by 14 going into the fourth quarter. And Wall still played 37 minutes in that game, and that was the second half of a back-to-back. So I am not as concerned about Wall as I think some people are going into tonight. I think that he'll get his minutes. The matchup with Orlando, you know, maybe not as good as it used to be just because the Magic are playing so slow this season. But, I think Wall's a more than fine play. I don't see any reason to believe that he'll go under that 36, 37-minute mark.
Yeah, I think you see him being a popular play, like I said, mostly because there just aren't a lot of other expensive plays. Like, you just, at some point, just need to find just raw points. And, I mean, on FanDuel, at least, there's not a player over 95. He's the most expensive player in the whole slate at 9,500. And that's nothing. Like, that's for a 6-game slate. It's just going to be whenever you can introduce even a cheaper guy here or there, which you can tonight. I think that's the big reason people end up playing him probably correctly. And even if you thought, even at like maybe 34 minutes, I think it's probably still fine just because of like the raw point upside. After him, you know, cheaper guys, you know, Wall and Dragic for me are probably the two top of the tier guys. The Sixers are an interesting situation tonight because Embiid is not going to play on the back-to-back. I believe Okafor is out. They already have Bayless out. They just really have very, very few bodies going out there today, and we'll get to some of that with the big men. I think Sergio Rodriguez is interesting from that point of view. He's been fine, you know. He's not a very good point guard, and if he's your starting point guard, your team's not going anywhere. He wasn't supposed to be because of Ben Simmons, but if he's just going to play 30-plus minutes and just take enough shots, is he like a high floor guy for you, even against the Grizzlies?
I think so. I mean, if you look at his game log recently, when he tops 30 minutes, he's been quite good.
Yeah.
You know, even excellent last night, 17-4-7 against Denver, 15-5-8 against Boston the game before that. The reason Rodriguez isn't going to stick in the NBA, or like as a starting point guard, in my perspective, is that his defense isn't quite strong enough. But,
right.
You know, he can kind of handle the ball. I mean, he's got 7 or more assists in his last 5 games. So I think he's a high floor play. I mean, at 4,600 in a not great matchup with Memphis, but Memphis also isn't the same defensive team with all their injuries as well. I think he's great.
Yeah, he'll shoot the 3-2, just enough. He averages around four three-pointers a game, which for him, that's fine. And if he's hitting around 35% of them, he's a little bit more enticing for me on DraftKings at only 5,000 because he helps round out some of the salary concerns. But I think you do have a couple different ways you can go with point guard on the slate. As shooting guard, this one's a little bit injury dependent because we're not 100% sure on Josh Richardson as of right now. This is 10:50 a.m. on Tuesday morning. So, But guys like Rodney Magruder and Wayne Ellington, they both started last game. They both played huge minutes for Miami. They're both basically free considering they're going to play. With no Richardson, they really stand to play minutes in the mid-30s. I mean, are you fine kind of just like not spending as much at shooting guard tonight? And can you roll out both of them like for Miami?
Oh, I'm not thrilled with it, to be honest. Like, neither of them has been good even in these minutes, even on basically minimum prices. Like, you get the odd decent performance out of Magruder. Ellington's a guy, I mean, when he was with Brooklyn, he had some decent games in a starting role in the past. But, man, like, I guess you take Ellington and hope he hits his upside like he did against Denver a few games ago. He strikes me as kind of the safer of the two, but I don't feel fantastic about either, I guess. I guess I feel okay about Ellington, all things considered.
Well, Ellington's issue is, and this is really just his makeup as a player, is that he just has to score. He doesn't do anything else. Like he needs to hit the three, and if he's not hitting it, you're dead even at like $4,000 pricing because he will not do another thing on the court. Like, he's just like one of those guys. He's just, you know, corner three-point guy, and that's kind of it. Magruder will do a little bit more, just sort of off the ball, not enough. Again, I'm with you. I kind of caveated these both of these guys by saying these guys are only in play if you think they're going to play like 35 plus minutes. Either of them at 30 minutes, I wouldn't even consider because they just simply don't do enough. Now, the problem is shooting guard in general, the list is really gross. You get like Jimmy Butler. He qualifies as shooting guard on DraftKings. That helps a little bit. You get Dwayne Wade, I suppose. He's on a back-to-back, though. What do you think about guys like this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel terrific about any of those guys necessarily. I mean, Wade is kind of interesting, given that, you know, he does kind of pay 5X on this price in decent matchups, and it's an okay matchup with Detroit. But, yeah, the names, this is one of those things when I can just picture you writing the picks last night, and you're sitting there, and you're like, all right, let's see. Yeah, Magruder and Ellington, don't want to write those guys up. Okay. And I'm already past the list. Thomas Satoransky, got it.
Right.
It's the unenviable task of trying to write up a bunch of shooting guards last night. I mean, Gerald Henderson's another guy who's like essentially free in very similar situation to Magruder and Ellington. But, you know, and it's funny, like I talked about not being too enthusiastic about Magruder and Ellington, but I think if you go the Gerald Henderson route, or like you pair up some of these super, super cheap guys who have a lot of opportunity, you do something positive overall, which is just not fall into the trap of paying up at a bad position. And I think that you probably, and even paying up tonight might look like playing like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in a less than great matchup, but paying the extra 2,000 for a similar points per dollar multiplier can really be suicide for your lineup. So I don't mind just going cheap and closing your eyes and hoping it works out.
Yeah, you know, probably one guy I was a little low on going into this was Rodney Hood. If he's getting over 30 minutes, his minutes have sort of been all over the place lately, and he's dealt with some injury concerns. Utah does actually have a very, very good matchup against Phoenix, and they have actually probably one of the highest implied totals you'll see all season for their team, considering how slow they play. They're actually up over 100, which really doesn't happen too often for Utah, so which really just speaks more to the Suns being a bad team. So Rodney Hood's a guy, 5,500 on FanDuel. If you think he's going to go 31 to 32 minutes, that is probably where we get away from it a little bit safer, just because, you know, you got to worry about Beal's minutes. You hate playing Levine against the Spurs. I'm just listing guys mostly because you can see what the problem here is. But like even a guy like Fournier, who you know, you think he's going to play 38 minutes and then he plays 32 because the Magic are a total mess. So shooting guards is very, very difficult tonight. Hood is probably a guy I'll end up bumping some minutes up on. And I could see him being the guy that we kind of like go to. At small forward, a place where I think we're going to want to pay between one of these guys, between Jimmy Butler, Gordon Hayward, possibly Kawhi, and Melo. Like, that's the tier of about 9,000 to 7,500. I know that's a big, that's a big range, but this is, again, with very few just high-priced guys. Can you see FanDuel going double expensive at small forward with two of these four guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Gordon Hayward probably winds up landing in the chalk zone tonight. Great matchup with Phoenix, and the shots have been really going up given that Hill and Favors have been sidelined. So I think that he'll, and given just kind of the lack of good kind of mid to higher tier options, settling him in at basically 40 to 50 fantasy points per game, which is what he's been doing recently, seems like an excellent option. As for the other ones, I mean, I think they're all fine options. I just think that Hayward is the guy most people are going to anchor their lineups around.
Yeah, no, I think so too. The matchup's great. He's been taking a ton of shots. He's coming off a decent game last night against the Lakers. So he'll probably end up being a chalk play both sites. Real quick, just to rewind back to shooting guard, one reason I did not mention Justin Holiday, he was a chalk play last week, is Courtney Lee is expected to come back tonight. So yeah. That pretty much takes Holiday off the table at shooting guard. You know, the news that's going to be really important for a guy like Butler tonight is, well, we're going to get Rajon Rondo back. He was suspended one game for doing Rajon Rondo things, which is like yelling at coaches and stuff. Like, I don't know why, like once bit, twice shy with guys like this.
What's
like,
old is new again.
That's what I mean. So, but he'll come back tonight and play again. We're not forced to worry about Jerry and Grant kind of like being a chalker play last night and then not really playing out of the starting point guard spot. But if Wade were to sit on the back-to-back, which they have done before, is Butler kind of become like a must-play for you?
I think so, yeah. I mean, Butler, and it's interesting, like we compare him to a guy like Kawhi or Melo or those other guys. The thing about Butler, and we talk about this often on our podcast and just in the articles, it's been a theme since we started doing our site, basically, is, you know, analyzing new opportunity guys, right? So, you know, the classic way guys get opportunity generally is like in the Rodney Magruder way, right? Like someone gets injured, you get more minutes, and theoretically you get more production as a result. And there's another way to do it too, which is when more opportunity opens up within the context of the game. And so when we really like a guy, a big money guy, or just any guy with new opportunity, is when the system already kind of liked him at his existing opportunity, and then the new role is sort of a tiebreaker. You know,
right.
Like this is like those backups who are quite good on 21 minutes a game, and you think they're going to get 31 minutes a game, and now you're like, oh yeah, it's a slam dunk. And Butler's kind of the big money version of that, where when the other high usage guys, either Rondo or Wade, disappear, he's just the whole team, and that's just something that's worth 9,200.
Yeah, no, and I think that's probably the difference between him and Kawhi. Kawhi started off the season kind of looking like that was going to be maybe his role here for the Spurs, and he still is. The problem with him is he will have total disappearing games for fantasy purposes. Like, he's just still a great player. Obviously, he's a top 10 player in the league, but maybe a little higher. But
yeah, that doesn't always translate to daily fantasy, though.
Exactly.
I mean, he hasn't hit 40 fantasy points in six games. Like, that's at some point at 8,300. Like, if you played him any time in that stretch, you were really disappointed with the result. And at that point, like, you can be matchup proof the other way, where like it doesn't matter who you're playing, you're always good. For him and the way the Spurs want to use him, it's almost like things have to break perfectly for him to pay these prices, and I just don't know if that's where you want to be.
Yeah, no, and he's still getting shots. Like, he's averaging around 20 shots per game over the last couple games, and he's been sort of in that 18 to 20-ish, maybe 16 to 20-ish shots. Especially the other stuff that hasn't really been coming around for him. The assists have really just either the way they're using him in the offense or just maybe some bad luck maybe, but the assists really haven't been there at all. And the rebounding just isn't consistent enough, and so you just kind of get lost. He's probably the guy. He's probably be the odd guy out for me among that group. It probably ends up being something like Long Butler and Hayward, maybe Melo, but probably not. Just because he's another guy that can sort of just kind of disappear on you based on matchup or just where the shots are going in that offense. A couple other just interesting small forward types. Well, actually, you know, these guys qualify more for power forward, I guess, so we can get into that. At power forward, I wrote up Sark and Ilyasova, mostly because, now, it never feels good playing guys against Memphis. I get that part of it. But the Sixers are really lacking big men tonight, and they did play these guys together on the court last night. They played Saric at the 3 and Ilyasova at the 4. I think if they're going to be willing to play them both,
go to the NBA Finals?
No, they're going to go right back to the lottery.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
Dario's going to be good, I think. This isn't the time yet, but I think overall he'll end up being just kind of a fine guy in the league. Ilyasova,
I think his future is a guy with a foreign sounding name who plays 21 minutes a game and puts up good stats, but no one can figure out why he can't get more playing time.
Tonight though, because I bet you he plays tonight. I think that they're going to. I think the Sixers are going to need to probably play them together to just really have any size at all. By the way, neither of these guys is particularly big, but without Okafor and without Embiid, they're going to need the scoring. And I can see them just going small. Can you play both of these guys together at power forward?
Sixers stack. I'm all in, baby. Yeah. I love it. I mean, in all seriousness, though, they've been excellent. Like, these guys actually perfectly fit the profile of what I was talking about when we were on small forwards, which is guys that are good on a points per minute basis who get more minutes and just keep doing it. I think a lot of people have this kind of false belief that, you know, playing more minutes will somehow make you worse, mm-hmm. or like, you know, worse on a per minute basis. But that's really not the case unless you go from like 10 to 40 or something where you're just physically tired. But these guys are all NBA players. They can play 30 minutes a game. And I think these are both excellent, excellent plays tonight.
Yeah, and I'm guessing a little bit on the minutes here. We could see – it always gets me a little worried if they both weren't in the starting lineup, and it would really be Saric that wouldn't be in the starting lineup, not Ilyasova. He's been out there. But I get worried about playing guys coming off the bench because those are – and we've said this many, many, many times, but those are the guys most likely to not see the minutes, right? Because you can get caught in rotations – you can come in and it just isn't working out and the coach can pull you. It's just much easier to pull the bench guys than it is for the starter. So that'd be my only concern. Now, that's built into the pricing to some degree too, because, you know, he's only 4,100. Ilyasova, I think, is only 4,500 or something like that, 4,600. So you're a little less worried about it considering that they're just so cheap. Like, they could play 20 minutes or 25 minutes and you probably won't get totally crushed, but that is my concern. What about guys like Markieff Morris? Markieff Morris had some chatters on absolute tilt, me included, last night, because I think at the end of the first half, he had something like, about 3 minutes left to go in the first half, he had -1 points, right? And he was
in. That does not sound good.
No, but then he was able to sort of turn it back around and ended up being great, because he kind of caught a little bit of fire in the second half and just kind of pulled it all together.
He hit 6x here. Yeah.
No, he ended up being good. It just really wasn't looking like that was going to be the case at all. On the back to back, maybe we get a little less of a guy like Beal, a little less of Wall. Do you think there's like enough usage for a guy like Morris? Is he just too risky? What do you think? I mean, he kind of fits like that middle tier sort of value play category, but he's a guy that just, it never feels good putting him in lineups.
Yeah, I wrote Morris up actually going into that Brooklyn game last night, and you know, kind of did a deeper dive on him leading into that, because I was kind of flummoxed by the fact that his minutes have been so high, but the production hasn't really followed, because the issue with Morris in the past has always been basically that he shoots too much and then he can't stay on the court. So maybe the Wizards have come and said, hey, pal, we'll pay you 30 or play you 34, 38 minutes a game. You just can't shoot every time you touch the ball. Like, that's not going to work for us. That being said, I do think it's a value on these prices. I mean, if you just go down again, go back through the game log, if you look at a fail state for a guy like Morris, and if it's 20 fantasy points, if he's going to play 33 to 38 minutes a game, that's solid. You know, like, you're not going to get crushed there. And the upside when he just like goes off is we've seen him touch 50 fantasy points in a game this season, right? And so most guys on this price point don't have that kind of upside. And for that reason, I think he's a very reasonable guy to consider. One thing I do want to point out, though, about this slate overall, because I was trying to figure out while you were talking, like, in my mind, I was like, man, there's a lot of good savings here tonight, right? Like, both these power forward guys on the Sixers, Markieff Morris, we talked about shooting guard being a position where you can go cheap. Maybe like Andrew Harrison or Sergio Rodriguez at point guard. Like, there's a lot of cheap guys floating around. The issue is that there's no expensive guys tonight. Right. The most expensive guy on FanDuel tonight is 9,500. And I mean, how do you think that's going to play out in terms of actual boots on the ground lineup construction? Because we're not really getting any big payoffs for going cheap at so many positions here.
I think what you're going to see, and that's like what I mentioned at the top with this pricing, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see certain guys like Wall, Butler, Hayward, and then we'll get to Whiteside in a second at center. You're going to see these guys as like incredibly highly owned.
Has to be, right?
Like, yeah, you're going to see them like 70%, maybe higher, because you don't even need to know anything about basketball to just kind of know to click these as the names.
Like, I can't put any more money in.
Exactly. So I think that that's going to be, I think because of that, you're going to see a large concentration around those four, and maybe I might be missing a guy here or there, but those four guys strike me as, at least on FanDuel, where everyone's going to go. It's a little harder on DraftKings always because the pricing there is a little tighter. You have a little less to work with, and so you do need to go cheap. Really, where you're going to make your money is just getting the auxiliary other guys. Like, your two shooting guards are going to make a huge difference tonight. Your second, well, I should actually add in Dragic too, because I think he and Wall are pretty easy plays there at point guard. I think where you're going to make your money is at the two shooting guard spots, the two power forward spots, and that's kind of it, right?
Like, yeah, and I think the trap actually for tonight is going to be, because like normally if there were so many cheap plays, especially on a shorter slate, you would see people do the old, like, well, I'm just going to play Russell Wilson. I do that every time.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis. And then I'm just going to play all these cheap guys and, like, you know, then pick whatever small forward costs $6,300 or less to end it off. Like, I think that's how kind of the average user makes their lineups. Mm-hmm. And since you can't do that tonight, I suspect a lot of people are going to wind up just making really weird and kind of bad lineups. And this is just, again, where some way to optimize your own projections is so key. But it's a weird night.
One guy I forgot to mention is shooting guard too, and he's been absolutely on fire lately, is Troy Daniels. I will caution people on Daniels. Now, Daniels also comes off the bench, which can be a little disconcerting, though he did play crunch time overtime minutes with Memphis last night, so that is a good sign for him. This guy absolutely cannot shoot any better from three than he's been shooting. He's been shooting like something like 60% over the short term from three. So just a little bit word of caution on a guy like him, where you just can't continue to see the, like, sort of that heat check for, I don't think, for this many games in a row. So I could see people talking into him, a guy like him in. But like, I was just running through our lineups, and basically, yeah, like right now it's like Wall, Dragic, Butler, Hayward, and then Whiteside, and then you're kind of just, and it's all the other pieces that are moving around. Let's look at Whiteside real quick. Do you think he, sort of for that same reason, is just the chalk play at center? He's been great. They've needed him to play more, especially with some of their injury concerns. Do you think he's the guy? Like, is he just like kind of an every lineup guy? You think when it all is said and done?
To be. I don't see any way. Like, I guess some people will consider Drummond, but Whiteside's been so good that it would be shocking to see people not throw him out there.
Right, and this is what I mean. Like, this is a night where you just, again, you don't need to know a ton of, I hate to say this because it doesn't help businesses like ours at all, but like, you just don't really need a ton of baseline knowledge to know that just, all you need to look is really at the game log for a guy like Whiteside, because tonight, more than most nights, price, just because it doesn't become a factor as much as most like normal nights, like, you can just kind of look at the game log and know to play him. Like, you don't need like a system like ours to tell you to play Whiteside. That's not usually the case for NBA or really any DFS sport, but tonight it is. So I think you'll see him as pretty much a chalk play. I did write up Drummond as well. I do like him at the price. If he can see 34 minutes, he kind of is just like a double-double guy that does help on DraftKings for a few extra points. Though, there's just almost no way I wouldn't. I'm happy to pay the 1900 more or whatever it is to get, or 2100 more to get up from Drummond to Whiteside, because I don't think you're going to need to worry about it in the other spots. So I think those two guys, and after that, I mean, Towns against the Spurs, no thanks. Marc Gasol, maybe, but you get some minute problems there. He's coming on the back-to-back, so I could even see them sitting him. So anyway, when it's crystallized this early for me, it's both comforting because I'm like, oh, okay, not too many decisions to make tonight, but most people are in the same boat where there just aren't too many decisions to make.
Yeah, man.
All right, that's it for us today for a shorter slate of Tuesday basketball in the NBA. We're from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com. Head over to the site, grab that free 3-day trial to the projection system powered by Lineup Lab, which basically informs everything that we talked about here today, and informs our picks and informs just really all the decisions we make nightly on DFS. We play these lineups and we think you should too. DFSR.com, head over, free 3 days, $29.95 a month. You're all set, buddy. We'll be back again in a couple days talking more NBA. Now off to do an NFL podcast.
Booyah.